Welcome to Kadampa Podcasts. These podcasts offer practical solutions to daily challenges and help guide us to a happier and more peaceful state of mind. In each episode, you will find an extract from a teaching given by one of various Kadampa Buddhist teachers worldwide. All these teachings are inspired by the profound wisdom of Venerable Geshe Kalsang Gyatso Rinpoche, a Buddhist master for our time. We hope you enjoy listening.
All of us, everybody in the city, everybody in our family, everybody everywhere, we all have the same wish. And we have the wish to be happy. It's so simple and fundamental. Our interest is happiness. Our interest is freedom. Our interest is to not have suffering, to not have problems. Our interest is to resolve conflict and to not be sick. Our interest is to have fun, you know? Our interest, our wish, our desire, our aspirations, all of us, we have the same one. And that is that we're seeking happiness, we're seeking freedom, we're seeking liberation. And in truth, temporary freedoms from just particular problems of daily life, illnesses, annoyances, like this, just temporary freedom from these things isn't enough for us because we're always seeking more, a new happiness, a deeper happiness, something more fulfilling. We want more than just kind of getting over the next problem and the next problem and the next problem. We want something deeper. You know, everybody wants this, something more. A happiness that's lasting, a happiness that's beyond problems and suffering, a happiness we can say that is even pure. We all want this type of lasting happiness. So we're encouraged to think about this reality, this point of connection, that it's at the core of everything we're doing. Now, we're all going about seeking our happiness in different ways based on all of our other interests, based on our karma, based on our upbringing, based on our ideas and so forth. Like this, we're all seeking the same thing in a great variety of ways. But it's very worth recognizing that we are seeking the same thing. And that's what we forget. When we draw these false distinctions, we draw these divisions, we forget we're all seeking the same thing. We think we're all going in so many different directions. And yes, of course, in some ways we are. But the fundamental point of connection in this way of understanding is that we are all the same. We are all equal. There is not one of us that's any higher than the other. And when we think about this, it appeals to our sense of fairness and justice and what is right, that we are all equal. That yes, we have our ideas, our cultures, our differences, and this is an interesting thing. But the deeper point of connection that we have is that we all have the same wish. So we're encouraged in this meditation to think about this, to bring it home. Because intellectually we'll say, yeah, that's true once we start to think about it for a minute. But in the day-to-day of our life, we forget that. So we're encouraged to think about how true this is, to see that point of connection, to realize that, so that we can cherish the people around us, so that it brings that to the fore, this cherishing, that your happiness is important. I'm giving you my time, I'm giving you my attention, I'm giving you my energy, I'm cherishing you because you want to be happy too, just like me. I'm going to extend that, I'm going to share out that cherishing like this. I'm going to try, you know? So we contemplate this essential truth. It dawns on us, that feeling of cherishing becomes stronger. And then in daily life, we want to be mindful of this. We want to keep that reality in mind and keep that sense of cherishing the people around us going. I think we have to work hard at it, you know, this way of thinking. We've got to by that, I mean remind ourselves again and again and again and again. Because through habit, through karma, through society, we can tend the other way all the time. We're getting lots of messages about the other things. So we got to stay grounded in truth. And to stay grounded in truth, we've got to remind ourselves again and again. That's why we do the meditation. We contemplate these things. We bring them to heart. And then we cause that intention to cherish those around us. We cause that to arise. And we use that intention, you know. We become more intentional in this cherishing way in our activities and conversations. So in the meditation, what we're encouraged to do is to start first with our family and friends or pets, whoever we naturally cherish, whoever we naturally love. We imagine them here, 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 okay, everywhere. And then I like to remember their names, because when you remember someone's name, it's like they come to mind for you. It's like they're there, more vivid. And although we're imagining them, of course, the name I find helps to trigger their kind of existence for you. So you can think about them, remember your family members, cousins, friends, neighbors, pets, like this, whoever you're interacting with, meeting. Bring them all into your meditation. Don't leave anybody out. This space is as big as your mind. Everybody's in there. And then you think, just as I wish to be happy, so do you. Just as I wish to be free from suffering, so do you. Just as I do not want sickness or illness, you are the same. Like this. It's so simple. You don't have to be, you know, PhD for this. You just think towards everybody like this. And I guarantee what will happen is that point of connection will appear. You'll feel so connected to everybody from the point of view of what is really true. And then as a result of this, because you cherish these people, because you have a warm feeling for them already, that gets triggered. That cherishing comes about. Okay, so we do this meditation again and again until it becomes more stable. And then we carry that intention into our life. Practice it. Okay. And then we go back to meditation. We just do it again because it's a practice, it's training. And you can do this for 15 minutes. Do some breathing meditation and then do this exercise. Okay? It doesn't have to be too long, 20 minutes, whatever. So then you start to bring more people in. So once you get comfortable with this and you feel some groundedness in this practice, you feel it's working, then you include some more people. Then you include the difficult people, right? Because those are the ones you don't feel connected to at all. Those are the ones with a sense of conflict, going like this or like this. Because so that's the real work there. But it's on the foundation of what we already get, what we're already developing, right? So we bring in these challenging people. We meditate on them like this. We break through what the kind of perception of difference and disconnection is for us. And we bring about that good mind, that understanding, this cherishing of them. And we just keep going until eventually in this practice, we develop this worldview that we are all connected. We are all the same in this fundamental desire. And as we get into this big mindset, it's as if we have just one wish altogether, all of us. It dawns on us that we're like one, it's almost like one mind. We're not one mind. We have individual mental continuums. So we see this sense of wish that in which we are connected. We can say we are like one. We are like one. Not an island, 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 but like one. And it's a really, really cool space to be in. It's a very happy place to be. It's a very light place to be. It's not heavy, it's not dark, it's not disturbed. It's a very positive and open mindset to have. So that's just one point of reflection in meditation number 10, that we are all the same, we're all equal. And so we should cherish each other. I will cherish you, like that. So another way in which we can see our connection, and we looked at this last week, is that others are kind to us. We live in a web of interaction. So I'd like to read a little bit on this. So Geshe Kelsang says here, wherever we look, we find only the kindness of others. We are all interconnected in a web of kindness from which it is impossible to separate ourselves. Everything we have and everything we enjoy, including our very life, is due to the kindness of others. In fact, all the happiness there is in the world arises as a result of others' kindness. And then later he says, in short, we need others for our physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being. Without others, we're nothing. Our sense that we are an island, an independent, self-sufficient individual, bears no relation to reality. It is closer to the truth to picture ourselves as a cell in the vast body of life, distinct yet intimately bound up with all living beings. It's amazing. We are an individual, like a cell is an individual, but yet we are connected to the entire body. We are connected to each other. So yes, we can recognize that we are each individuals and we can appreciate that about one another. But yet we can see that we are, like, as he said, this vast body. It's very easy to see how this is a truth. Everything these days is teaching us this. I mean, the advent of the internet is teaching us this. We're so interconnected. Communication like this, global supply chains, the whole world is this interconnected web, like cells in the body. Something happens over here, it affects us over here. Something happens over here, it affects us over here, like this. In fact, the whole world is affected, even by small actions. Even the actions of one person can affect the entire world. Well, I was going to teach this class in Fort Worth last night in on 30, just outside of Fort Worth. The traffic just completely slowed down. And checked GPS, there was a little accident up ahead. And I thought, oh, of course. This is exactly what the teaching is saying in a really kind of practical way. We see something happens to one person and it affects everybody else. There we are sitting. So we can think, yeah, this is a nice idea. This is quite spiritual. Wow, this is very philosophical. Wow, so true. One person, what if they're just like tired? I wasn't offended, but what if they're just tired? Like, blow out, stop, you know, something happens. Everybody, for miles. And what are all the knockoff consequences? What if somebody was late to an appointment like this? Boom, 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 boom. The points of interaction and connection are just endless. And whatever happens over here affects over there. So when we look at this interconnection, we see that we are not isolated. We're like cells in the body. Okay? We look at even everything's gone in our world. We see this. And you remember this. And it's a very different mindset. It's a very different worldview to feel like I'm an independent person going throughout the world. That's not what we're saying, but well, maybe we do. I don't know. It's very different to hold strongly that sense of me independent as opposed to feel like I'm a cell in the body. It's a very different mindset. Which one is more beneficial? Which one has less stress? So the stronger we grasp at ourselves by default, the stronger we're going to grasp at others. The more we're going to succumb to this kind of false duality of self and other, this illusion. The more we connect to the truth, the more wisdom, more peace that we have, the more understanding we have the better intentions we have, the more well-motivated we become. So we're encouraged to think about this web of interaction and kindness and use this imagery of a cell in the body. So there's the two out of the 3 points of reflection in the meditation. So the final one is quite simple also. The final one is that we're asked to consider how we're only one person. We're one person, while others are many. So how is it that we could cherish ourselves as more important than all others? It's illogical. It makes no sense. Because this is the thing, you know, the thing about self-cherishing and this self-grasping is they're both forms of ignorance. They're just not true. There's no way in which we actually exist as an independent person. And there's no good reason for thinking that we are more important than anybody else. Once we break it down, there's no truth behind those ideas. Zero. So when we think, I'm one, others are countless, I must cherish them. Must. When we think about like being in a team, we're one part of the team. We think about being in a family, one part of the family. Maybe we have to have a family meeting. We've got to discuss something really difficult about a relative, about a friend, about a parent, someone who's not well, you know, to make some big decisions. We're one part of that family unit having to have these difficult conversations, you know. So we're just one. We're one part. And we recognize with truth, this type of reality is much better. We come up with solutions like this. We don't feel so alone in the difficulties that we need to address. We feel more connected to each other. We can achieve greater goals together. When we get outside of ourselves as the individual and relate more to the group that we're a part of. I'm only one, others are more. And we're trained to think about this from a young age, aren't we? To think about working in teams, working in groups, or playing sports, things like this, getting outside of ourselves more and more, thinking about the greater good. So we're familiar, of course, with all of these realities. We're familiar with these things that are true. But this meditation is asking us just to think about that more deeply. That we're one, others are many, like this. We're totally connected, and others are very kind. We all have the same wish. If we fold together these three ways of thinking, we will definitely develop a great sense of connection, definitely. Because the truth, again, the fundamental truth is we're connected in all of these ways. And it's a form of ignorance to think that we're not. It's a form of ignorance to believe in that independent me and the strong distinctions between self and others. And we know, hands down, that ignorance is a source of suffering. We know ignorance is a source of so many problems. So we flip that and we contemplate these things. We find this wisdom truth. We bring it to the fore of our mind and we use this way of thinking in daily life. We try to be mindful of these things.
If you feel inspired by this podcast, then dive deeper into timeless wisdom of modern Kadampa Buddhism by following the link in the episode description. We look forward to reconnecting with you in the next episode of Kadampa Podcasts.